Friday evening, I returned from a pilgrimage, and I don't use that word lightly. It was a pilgrimage to Greece to follow in the footsteps of Paul. Pilgrimage means we leave things, people, routines, and we go. We go to seek God. And I'm here to tell you it was beyond anything I could have imagined. It was my first time traveling internationally. So as I came through customs and got on the other side, I had this sense of relief that I had successfully traveled internationally and kept my passport with me at all times. Because what you may or may not know about me is I struggle to keep up with things, and my husband plays the role of carrying important items for us. He didn't go on the trip, so I was responsible for myself the entire time. And I did okay. I came back with a phone as well. That may not seem like a big deal to you, but it was for me. The places I got to see, the people I got to meet. We traveled Philippi and Thessaloniki, and we went to Meteora, which is the area in the mountains with the monasteries on, like when I say on the cliffs, like I'm not exaggerating. Am I exaggerating? No, it was beautiful. And that day you may have thought it was bad weather, but it was the rain and the overcast added to the mystique of the monastery and the mountains. We went to Delphi, we went to Athens, and we went to Corinth. It was all amazing. We went to the area that would be considered ancient Berea. We were at literally 7 days ago today. Like, I know it's Sunday because we're all here. Otherwise, I'm not sure if I would know. And the time must be, it says it's 11:23. My body says it may be something a little different, but I'm getting there. But as we stood there in this plaza that was built to honor and remember the Apostle Paul, I found myself wondering, did Paul have any idea that in 2024, 38 persons from the Holston or North Alabama conferences would be standing there in ancient Berea? I don't think so. But it's a reminder to all of us that we don't necessarily know the impact that we have on others and how long that legacy will go. It's profound to think about. Zena was our tour guide. In fact, the past couple of days, I have struggled. I'm waiting for Zena to tell me what time I need to be someplace and what I am seeing as we travel. But I'm on my own now. We traveled to these places, and Zena just has this incredible wealth of knowledge about her culture, about the history. She is Greek Orthodox, and we got to go to a Greek Orthodox church last Saturday. It's powerful experiences. The first day we were in the bus, within the first 15 minutes, she had given us a 15-minute rundown of the history, Greek history 101. I had my phone out going as quickly as I could to keep up. One of the things she told us time and time again was the arrogance of the time in which Paul would have been, the belief in pagan gods. When we read in scripture, it talks about one God. That is really important because the culture in which early Christianity took place, there were many gods. She talked about that arrogance and superiority. And what she told us on the day that we traveled from Athens to Corinth, she told us about this battle that took place as part of the Persian-Greek War in 480 BC. Now, I could go into all the dynamics of the military strategy. If that interests you, I encourage you to do research about the Battle of Salamis. But what my takeaway was, when she told about the Persian king who had a golden throne built on a mountainside so he could watch his troops devastate the Greeks. a throne built on a mountain so he could be before and see all that was to take place, a position of superiority. He believed he was entitled to it. At that battle, the Persians were defeated significantly. He sat upon his throne that he had built for himself, and he watched his troops defeated. The perspective of superiority, that in some way that we are greater than others, is not limited to historical Greece. It's not limited to only certain people. It crosses the generations to you and me. Those places in our culture and in our lives where we think we're either a little bit or a whole lot better than other people. We are reading through the book of Luke, and hopefully you are keeping up. If you're not, it is not too late. We encourage you to read Luke with us this Lent. You can go to concordunited.org/Bible, or you can pick up a hard copy as I've been reading through it. I'm continually amazed at God's word. I am continually amazed at our Savior Jesus Christ, about how he lived and he taught and he challenged. And he does that in our reading today from Luke 18. Luke 18 actually starts, you may have heard it described as the persistent widow. We read this scripture back in August when we were focusing on prayer, about the persistent widow and her prayer. So that is what leads up to what we are reading today. And what Jesus says, according to Luke, is this: to some who were confident of their righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told another parable. Like, he told this one parable at the very beginning of Luke, and he was like, wait, I think I need to tell another one. And this is what he tells. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. So we have these two guys, these two people, the Pharisee, who would have been an expert, would have been very versed in living out the traditions and the law of Judaism. He knew he was supposed to be at the temple praying. He was checking the boxes. Have you ever checked the boxes? Have you ever been like, I'm showing up? And there is something about showing up, don't get me wrong. But yet what the tax collector found himself, or the Pharisee found himself, he found himself in a position of superiority because, look, he was doing what he was supposed to do. He had all the boxes checked. And then we have the tax collector, the tax collector. The tax collector is one of those people. You know those people? Those people who we go, thank God we aren't like them. We look from a position of superiority, and that is the tax collector. We see in other places in the gospel where it says sinners and tax collectors. They were like a special category of sinners. These are our two characters in this parable. And you see what these two friends do for us in Luke 18, 9 through 14, is they show us the why, the how, the who, and the what of praying from a lowly place. What did you do yesterday? Why did you do it? Why did you do what you did yesterday? We often focus on the what. The what is the actions, the things that we do. Simon Sinek talks about, is he talks about organizations. He talks about the significance of why. The significance of why. Why is our motivation. It articulates who we are. What you did yesterday, you did for reasons. If I said, what did you do yesterday? You could tell me what you did yesterday, or for the most part. But if I said, why did you do it? You may have to pause. But there's a reason, there is a motivation behind it. And when we look at the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, we see the why. The why of lowly prayer is our motivation. What is the motivation for which we pray? Is it like the Pharisee? So we can check the boxes, do the routine, live out the ritual? Or are we like the tax collector? Desperate. The tax collector is desperate because the tax collector realizes he is incapable of saving himself. He needs God. He can't figure this out himself. Many of us have been incredibly successful in our lives, whether through our families, our careers. We look at our lives, our houses, our amount in our bank account, we go, we've done pretty good. We've checked the boxes. And there is nothing good or bad or right or wrong in that. And yet the question is, do we understand? Are we desperately in need of Jesus Christ? Do we understand that? That we can't save ourselves, that is our why, is we don't have to save ourselves, that God does that for us. His grace and his love reflected on the cross and in the empty tomb. They had a why, both of them. And the truth is we've probably been both or somewhere in between the Pharisee and the tax collector. The why is our motivation. Do we understand our desperate need for God? The how of lowly prayer is humility. Humility is not something we hear a lot about in our culture. We don't hear people go, be more humble. Yeah, I don't know about y'all. I don't hear it a lot. I hear a lot about individual and it's about me and self. And that isn't what we see here at all. We don't see the position of superiority being modeled by the tax collector. It says he stood at a distance. He stood at a distance because he understood. He understood that was the position of humility. He beat on his chest because that is an act of repentance. That he repented, he acknowledged where he has come up short. The tax collector said, thank God I'm not like those people. We do it ourselves. We divide ourselves up into all kinds of categories. People don't look like me, they don't talk like me, and if they don't believe like me, then I'm obviously better than them. That's how we tend to live at times. I even find myself at times going, at least being aware of that thought. The Pharisee stood there, not in a place of humility, but in a place of superiority. Where do we find ourselves? Do we find ourselves in a position of superiority or in a position of humility? Humility means being right-sized. Right-sized is this: I am not better than you and I am not less than you. I am one of. I am right-sized. We see in this parable the who of lowly prayer, which is God, which seems apparent. We're in church. If you say God, Jesus, or the cross, it's usually probably a correct answer if asked a question. But when we think about God, you see, the Pharisee went out of himself, whereas the tax collector was justified by God. He knew he couldn't make himself right, that he needed God. And that was apparent. What about you and me? Do we know that we need God? Do we understand that that is the focus when we go to God in prayer, when we use the language that he gave us, that we go to him because we need him? We don't have all the answers. And if you're anything like me, God's answers usually are a lot better and beyond anything I can comprehend. So we have the why, the motivation of our desperate need for God in his amazing love and grace. We have the how, the humility. We've got the who, the God. And the what is the lowly prayer, is the practice of prayer. It is the practice of prayer. How do you practice prayer? Every day. What does it look like for the Pharisee and the tax collector? It was going to the temple. It was living out these activities. How is it that we use the why and the how and the who? And we live that out every day in our prayer life. We live out that we are desperately need God. That he is who justifies us, and that we aren't the ones with all the answers. How do we live that out in our lives? Where are each of us in the story? Where is it that we need to take the position of humility and say, God, show me. God, I'm listening. God, I need you. I can't think of a better place to bring the why and the how and the who and the what of lowly prayer to the communion table. The table that isn't ours, it isn't this church's, it isn't the United Methodist, it is each and every one of ours. And when I think of this table, I think about the Last Supper. Where Judas sat there, Judas, who sold Jesus out for money, he sat at the table. He was told to remember. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, he was at the table. The others who were at the table, who scattered and hid behind locked doors, these are the folks that Jesus broke the bread and gave the wine and said, do this in remembrance of me. Not this remember something that happened a long time ago, but remember my grace and my love for you is sufficient. My redemption. That is what we come to do today. As we come to the lowly place of prayer, as we come in our desperate need and God's amazing grace, as we come in a position of humility, as we come before our God, as we live out this practice, the sacrament of Holy Communion. Let us pray. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pause in this story. We pause in your words to us across generations that ask us, what's our motivation? That ask us, what's our position? That ask us, who? That ask us, what? Lord, may we pause to come before you. May we be intentional in living out lowly prayer. May we live with an assurance that we do need you and that you love us desperately. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Concord United Methodist Church. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United, and we would love to hear from you. To contact us, please send an email to podcasts@concordunited.org with sermons in the subject line. For more information about Concord United, including worship times, service opportunities, mission efforts, and classes, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to download and enjoy our daily devotional podcasts presented by the pastors and members of Concord United. Finally, we would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and a review of this podcast so that others can discover it and benefit from it.